Session number 9481.
Mr. Collins, reel 4. Why had they shot them?
Well, I understand that Jimmy Rutherford had been captured before and somewhere and had been got his escape and sent home, but had volunteered to go back to the brigade. And of course, he'd been captured again and they decided to shoot him.
What were conditions like at San Pedro, apart from the beatings?
Terrible. We had to sleep on the floor with a blanket, and the building itself was terrible. Being inside the building, the walls were terrifically big, or thick on San Pedro, so that if the sun got on, the room would still be cold inside. So it was terrible sleeping there. You'd be frozen at night. It was terrible trying to sleep there. But at daytime, you're allowed out into the outside, into the courtyard outside, where you were marched around, and you had to carry on whatever you thought best to pass the time. And mainly our groups had elected their own group leaders without the fascists knowing, and we would decide what stories we'd have to tell the fascists if they asked us, and decide what we'd have to do in this camp, what groups we'd have to say in. They're very good, the chaps who we elected were very good chaps indeed.
Who was in San Pedro with you?
Frank West was one of the blokes, and the chapman was a chap named Solomons, who was one of our chaps in charge, who were elected in charge, and a chap named Jay Jacobs, who was the brother of Learner, the Judy Jacobs, who was the London District Secretary of the Union. There's quite a number of ourselves. It's hard to remember what the names were, but we had some, mainly the English were all in a group together, and or Americans, and we had Americans who could also speak Spanish, some of them very good, and we put them in charge of the little groups that we formed, and they used to do a lot of good things, like, for instance, putting a if we asked for something, that we would need something, then we got it. And I remember I was taken sick there once, so they called the doctor in, and the doctor said something to the Italians, and they must have thought I had a disease or something, because I think they must have thought I had created some disease, because they immediately ordered me to go off to hospital, which the hospital was about a mile away. So I was put in this ambulance, or rather this lorry, and taken to this ambulance, to this hospital, which was a convent. And the person who was in charge was a really harsh person. She was a headquarters of the nuns, and she used to say, come and say things to me about being a communist, and I just make out, which I couldn't understand, but anything I said. So after being there about a week, I got better and realised I didn't have any disease, and I got sent back to San Pedro. And what happened when I got to San Pedro, I found that a lot of people have been vaccinated because they thought I had something other that people would need to be vaccinated against.
Vaccinated against what?
The disease. I think it's where you shake and everything. I think what they call it now.
Malaria.
So something that they thought I had it because they vaccinated these other people and they vaccinated me too. But I didn't have it at all. thought, okay.
So what did this Mother Superior say to you?
Oh, talking about communists. She said Marlowe was the word for badness. They said, communist Marlowe. And she had to wave, show a fist to me every time she passed me. But
did you get proper treatment?
Well, I got treatment from them, but it wasn't the treatment you get in English hospital, of course. It was that we just got a soup every day, and sometimes, if you were lucky, you got a glass of milk.
What was the worst part of being imprisoned?
Well, I think it was the washing facilities. There was only about three places that you could wash, and there was about 200 or more fellows there, and you had to find time to go have a wash, and our group there was there decided that whatever happened we must have a wash every day, not allow ourselves to get dirty or anything like that. So I think that was the worst part of it, and the questions that you used to get from the fascists, they, every now and again you could be called out and you'd be questioned about something, about what you were, and the communists, where you come from, and what you were doing in Spain. They get all this information about you. And sometimes you see that the Italians come and interview us, and once or twice the Germans would turn up to German officer, actually in their German officer uniform, come and question you. And they'd ask you about Spain, what you were doing in England, and whether you would like to go to Germany, and things like that. But
did any of them accept the invitation?
No.
Were British POWs treated the same as POWs of other nationalities,
yes,
or were there any differences?
That's the same. All you get is you get your cup of, in the morning you get your cup of almost hot water, or they used to call it coffee, but it's almost hot water, and a loaf of bread.
Were the POWs defiant or not?
Well, no, they weren't. They were, because one or two did make escapes and try and get out, but they were always rounded up somehow. And I was told some Germans. Who were taken prisoner, that they'd have to make their escape somehow, and they knew the way out, and they told me the way out, and that's what I was going to put and tell Jimmy Rutherford, if we ever got a chance, that we go through the way the Germans suggested, and say to you. And what's more, when once we got out of the prison, I know the way to this place where which uses the hospital, this convent. I know the way there, and also I know the way, quite a way, which was quite a mile away. And it would be a good idea once we got out, if you got 2 or 3 miles away, you stand a chance of getting free, because the Portuguese border wasn't all that far away.
But you didn't actually attempt yourself?
No, because they'd arrested Jimmy Rutherford since then, and we forgot about it.
How was it that you came to be released?
Well, demands have been made in England for our release, anyway, from different people, and we were exchanged for Italians, for prisoners from the other side, who have been captured by the Republicans, and were exchanged. We were taken down to the border, just outside San Pedro, San Sebastian, to a place called at the border called Iran, used to be known as the International Bridge, where people was guarded by the French on one side and the Italian and the Spanish on the other, and we were taken there. And handed over.
To whom?
Well, it was the French people took us in over the border, and they were quite good to us too. They give us the dinners. They all also give us a dinner which we couldn't eat, because none of us had eaten a dinner for such a long while. We couldn't really stomach it, even though it was a very good dinner, no doubt. And then they sent us up to, put us on the train and sent us off to the Channel coast. We'll be taken over to Dover.
Did you stay in San Pedro, or did you go to any other prisons afterwards?
No, we stayed in San Pedro all the time. But we were taken to a prison just outside San Sebastian, which was a really a hard-looking prison to look at. But we stayed there, and we met one or two Spaniards who were in prison, and one chap had been sentenced to death, and he was waiting for in the prison. And he told us what it was like to him. And I said to him, told him that we were going home, and that could we do anything for him? Or we said to death that we fight to help the Spanish people, help the Spanish people by sending food and arms to the Spanish people. That's what we said. He was sentenced to death.
What for?
Well, for something he had done. They'd arrested him. And he was really anti-fascist there. So he was really against the fascists. I suppose that's why I sentenced him to death.
So this prison at San Sebastian was just a temporary place whilst they were transferring you?
That's right, yes. But it was a real prison at San Sebastian Monday, which I thought was ridiculous, because when you walked along the front, when we were marching along the front at San Sebastian, you could tell the prison when you came to it by the look of it.
When you got back to Britain, did you get any kind of reception?
Well, people met us at Victoria. Quite a number of people were waiting. They'd heard we were coming, and they were on the way to us when we got to Victoria. Very good. Men, a lot of party people, and our own people, our own families.
Are you glad that you volunteered for Spain or not? Or do you regret it?
No, I was pleased about it because the war that followed later, I was pleased about the side I was on, I'd been on right from the start. Yes, being interviewed by the fascist officers, we were told by the fascist officer, who could speak very good English, he also had a copy of the Sunday Times, the British Times, in his pocket. So he asked me if I wanted to read it. So I read it. And inside was a question of what happened in Parliament, what happened in Parliament. And a question had been asked to the Foreign Minister about a number of fascist troops that were now in Spain. And it was R.A. Butler who gave the reply, because the Foreign Secretary was Lord Halifax, who obviously was wasn't allowed in Parliament. But it was R.A. Butler who replied, and he said, "His Majesty's government have no knowledge of fascist troops in Spain." And yet, as I read that, I was watching about 20 or 30,000 of them go by in lorries out where I was being questioned by this Italian officer. Must have been 20,000 of them by that day. And R.A. Butler was saying there was no sign of Italian troops there.
So it was an Italian officer who gave you the Times?
Yeah, Italian officer gave me. Let me read the Times, yes.
At Saragossa?
Yes. Well, it wasn't in Saragossa, it was in the place that they took us to question us.